You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
They're doing everything they can. Suppress the vote with your actions. Scare people, intimidate right. by saying law enforcement will be there. Diminish the role of the postal system in all of this. It's really actually shameful. Enemies of the state.
Enemies of the state. That's the way Nancy Pelosi is classifying and clarifying, describing the GOP, Donald Trump. The Donald Trump GOP is an enemy of the state. That means you. If you support Donald Trump, you are an enemy of the state. August the 25th, 2020. We've heard that term enemy of the state previously, and it's been used by Trump, referring to reporters and the media. I didn't like it when he said that about reporters and the media, just because they're not writing and covering in the way he wants. I did not accept that. I rebelled against it and said, some of them obviously are not doing anything to help our country, but I would not call them enemies of the state. That's part of free press. I'll say the same thing about Nancy Pelosi now. You have a freedom of speech, a freedom of right, and you make the decisions on what you want to do, and yet you're going to be called an enemy of the state if you decide to support Donald Trump, because Nancy Pelosi is again predicting Trump is trying to steal the election. They're never going to get past the fact Hillary lost. And they have dealt with it for almost 4 years now. And I'm looking forward to them dealing with it for the next 4 years. And they're already lining up excuses. The whole idea of having the Postmaster General in front of a congressional committee the other day in the House was to put him on the spot and try to say, you're going to be the reason if we lose this election, because the post office won't be doing its job. And you and the president are already conspiring to keep mail-in ballots from reaching the destination. They don't have any proof. They don't need any proof. Their followers just lap it up like thirsty dogs at the water. If you start checking into facts, you will find even in Democrat blue-controlled states, cities, and counties, mail-in ballots have been an absolute mess in some cases. Sent out to addresses to people that don't even live there anymore. Sent back undeliverable. Or who knows where they ended up in somebody's hand. Or thousands of ballots suddenly harvested, dropped off, and said, I gathered all the signatures and the votes from people in my area, so they didn't have to put them in the post office, and I'm delivering them. And then find many of those to be fraudulent. Not all mail-in balloting is fraudulent. But at the same time, if you can vote illegally at the polls because they don't know who you are, and you've stolen someone's identity by that fact you don't have a picture ID because you're not required, but you have a utility bill or something that went to their address that maybe you picked up off the street, you can go in and claim to be them and vote. They may put it aside as a provisional vote, but if they end up needing to go back and count, it will be counted one way or the other. The Democrat convention predicted doom and gloom every night, doom and gloom, and yet ignoring what was happening in our streets at those same nights in Portland. Every night the convention was underway, more rioting, arson, attacking law enforcement. And you heard nothing from the Democrats during their convention. You didn't hear any condemnation of it for sure. And by silence, they were accepting it. The GOP convention opening with full optimism. Things we're going to do, not just talk about the opponent as the Dems did, but what we're going to do, what we have in planned in mind. But Scalise, Congressman Scalise, is already pointing out, I've seen what the Democrat platform suggested, and that's where they're going this year.
They mentioned Donald Trump in their platform more than they mentioned racial equality, or more than they mentioned jobs, or more than they mentioned rebuilding the middle class. I mean, it just shows you what their focus is on. And so, yeah, show me in the 47 years of all the promises you heard Joe Biden make in his speech last week, every one of them, show me one thing he's done in 47 years to address those, including when he was the vice president of the United States.
Excellent point. But they didn't want to deal with that. They wanted to attack Trump, and that's their platform. Well, the Republicans are taking an entirely different optimistic approach. And in fact, last night featuring proof that black Americans can decide for themselves. They do not need to be led around like sheep by Democrats. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round and get to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out of shoes out there.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think the forgotten men and women, Alex, of this country who never really voted for the last 20 years and showed up in 2016 for Donald Trump because he was speaking to them. I think they're going to show up again because he's delivered for them. He's delivered for the forgotten men and women of this country. And that story doesn't get told enough because there's so much of this seething hatred of the president within the mainstream media and obviously on the far left. That seems to overshadow everything.
House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, Republican, Louisiana, discussing the fact that there are a lot of Americans out there that firmly believe in Trump. They're not saying anything really right now, as they didn't in 2016. They kept their mouth shut and said, you'll see what I think when I go to the voting poll. That was an interview he gave with host Alex Marlow of Breitbart News Daily. And I'm sure he's right. I don't know how many. I've lost count of how many told me they're going to be voting for Trump, but they're not telling anybody. They're not putting a sign in their yard, fearing it would create some retaliation and attacks against them. They're not about to put a bumper sticker on their car, fearing the same thing. The silent majority term actually, of course, came into being under Spiro Agnew, disgraced vice president, when he had to resign, bribery allegations. But he was right at that time about so many Americans just aren't saying what they really think at this point. But when it comes to voting day, they will be there. They will be there in numbers. We saw that in 2016. And to that extent, a lot of the polls that were being taken, assuming they actually were trying to be legitimate going into 2016, and showing Hillary so far away from Trump, assuming they were actually trying to be legitimate and were absolutely balancing, not overweighting it for Democrats, but absolutely balancing it and making sure independents were included and folks who were actually going to vote, assuming they did all of that correct, I have no doubt some folks probably lied to them and said, yeah, I'm going to vote for Hillary, and leave the interview or the survey and kind of start chuckling to themselves. I fixed that, didn't I? That's what I'm hoping is going to happen this time. At least I'm seeing it a lot. So last night we began the GOP convention. The next four nights, President Trump already making an appearance in front of his group, with a, not waiting till the last night. In fact, he's going to do that every night, make some kind of appearance. Thursday night will be the acceptance of his party's nomination. And it's already irritating some of the Democrats, because they think it's pulling some time away from things they would like to focus on. And even former Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill said, is he going to ramble on like this every night? Yeah, I think he probably is. And you consider it rambling? The base considers it engaging. But that's a different perspective. Now, last night, there were problems with Fox News cutting away sometimes from some of the prime speeches. I heard about it. I didn't get to witness all of it. I was checking on other sources. A lot of folks ended up going to C-SPAN, seeing it unedited. But Fox News was doing the unthinkable in many cases, turning away. In fact, one Trump campaign digital and data senior advisor, Brad Parscale, big name in the Trump group, tweeted out just before 9 on the opening night of the Republican National Convention, unbelievable, can't believe I had to watch the convention on CNN. And he wasn't alone. The evening continued, social media lit up with questions and criticism regarding Fox News. Why are you breaking away? They would break away to some interview Sean Hannity had underway. Now, I know Hannity's program is on at the same time that this started, but that was not a good idea. Hannity and his producers should be reevaluating that. You don't need to get in there. You don't need to do that. Let those at the convention speak and carry the situation. Fox News cut away from Charlie Kirk when he's appearing and went to Senator Kennedy of Louisiana for comments. MSNBC actually stayed with it live while Fox News cut away. One writer noting, a black Democrat speaking at the RNC endorsing Trump, but Fox News has Lindsey Graham talking with Hannity. Sean, that was a big, big mistake on behalf of your producers and of you if you had a decision in it last night. The American people want to watch this convention uninterrupted. And, of course, the CNN group cut out. They said they had to cut out because, well, listen to the explanation given by Anderson Cooper.
You've been listening to the president speak at the Republican convention moments after being formally nominated for president by the party. After vowing to have a positive convention, the president goes negative in its first moments. He started off falsely attacking mail-in voting. He's continuing to attack mail-in voting, and as his postmaster general testifies, that the attacks are, quote, unhelpful. That's his own postmaster general. He also criticized the media for airing the postmaster's hearing instead of his roll call. He falsely accused Democrats of wanting to shut down the country to hurt the economy and somehow help them at the ballot box.
Anderson Cooper saying that we cut away from the Trump speech because he's just telling lie after lie after lie. Oh, and he got support, obviously, as you would expect from his colleague, supposedly White House political reporter, analyst John King.
And underscores the challenge, Anderson, for us in the news business, and really for people watching at home, if you are a voter who has not decided, if you are a voter who is not firm in your decision, to watch the next 4 days, because this is a sad thing to say, but a lot of what you just heard from the President of the United States is wrong, misleading, or outright lies. Wrong, misleading, or outright lies.
Just repeated that again, just in case you're not so sure you can understand. When he said outright lies, he repeated it again. Wrong, misleading, outright lies. John King of CNN. Now, They're entitled to do that. It's their network. They do it the way they want, and we know you know what you're going to get out of that. But they were not going to allow Trump to go on because they said everything he says is a lie, and they did their own little fact-check thing. Well, there's a fact-check on some of the things CNN was saying and making remarks during their convention. But, of course, don't really deal with the facts like that, Larry. Just kind of stick to the storyline we have. So let me go back and help them out. I mean, I'm going to do my part for them. Here's Don Lemon Fruitcake and Chris Cuomo doing their deal again about how bad the Republican convention was because it's built on lies and the leader is a liar with Pinocchio nose.
How is what's happening on Trump's watch now? Everything that's happening, the coronavirus, the economy, the riots, the protests, the police brutality. How is that Joe Biden's fault when it is happening right now under this president, on this president's watch? He's president. Joe Biden's not even president.
They're making it all happen. They're lying about coronavirus.
Joe Biden doesn't want to defund.
Well, he's the head.
He's saying, "I want to give police more money. I want them to be trained in community policing." It is a Jedi mind trick that I don't understand how people are not getting this.
Jedi mind trick. This isn't even R2-D2 level thinking. But that's politics, Don. You're running for this party. I'm demonizing this party. Everything that's bad is your fault. Everything that's not going well on my watch, you're either lying about or you're engineering somehow on the sneaky side. And again, who are people going to believe? We'll see who makes the better case. And yeah, you can fact check it to death. We could fact check this convention all night. People who are saying you didn't fact check the Democrats, they are not lying the way Trump does.
Wait a minute. They are not lying the way Trump does. Well, some of that might be perspective, but that means you're also absolutely overlooking out-and-out lies and misconceptions they're promoting as fact. Now, you heard Don Lemon Fruitcake say, how can they blame COVID and the economy on Biden? It's on Trump's watch. Let me go back through some of the facts that the CNN did do on the Republican National Convention, and they have a piece saying the Republican National Convention started with a parade of dishonesty in sharp contrast with last week's Democrat convention. While CNN also watched and fact-checked the Democrats, they say they did, those four nights combined didn't have the number of misleading and false claims made on the first night of the Republican convention. This is, again, an attitude, an opinion by several CNN writers, all had their name on it. One of the things they get to, Trump's campaign promise, saying I didn't back down from my promises, I kept every single one, and of course they jumped right away. Hey, Mexico didn't build the border wall, you don't have it built yet, so forth and so on. All right, that's a fact. You can deal with that. He did not get it all built, and Mexico has not paid for it directly. I'll accept that. But then they talk about UN Ambassador Haley attacking Democrat position on health care. As she said last night, they want a government takeover of health care. And here's what they say, facts first. This is true of some Democrats, but it's not a policy Joe Biden supports. Well, he may not support it now, but at any point he needs to, he will. And it went on to say Biden does advocate broadening the government involvement in the nation's health care system. That's pushing to a government takeover. And they point out his running mate, Kamala Harris, shifted her position during the campaign, at times strongly backing Medicare for All, but eventually unveiling a health care plan that she now supports Biden's proposal. And you know why? Because she wanted to get on the ticket. Oh, ignore that part of the fact. Oh, and they get into the issue of abolishing suburbs. They say Republicans are trying to have you believe, as with last night, Patricia McCloskey of St. Louis and her husband Mark McCloskey, you know, the two who stood in front of their home in June holding their guns, telling people don't get on our sidewalk as protesters came through their area. They say, facts first, this is false. Democrats not seeking to abolish suburbs or end single-family zone housing. The Obama-era House rule meant to address racial segregation does not abolish suburbs in any way. I'll leave that to you for your interpretation. How about unemployment? Your numerous speakers last night praised the low employment rate America has witnessed under the Trump administration. And they, in CNN immediately says, this is misleading, outdated. It ignores the economic destruction caused by the coronavirus pandemic. No one's doubting what it's done to us now. Even CNN had to admit the U.S. unemployment rate fell to 3.5% last September, the lowest since 69. But also had to admit that, yeah, we had black unemployment down to 5.4% before all of this happened. You see what they're doing? They keep going around and around all of this. And, of course, here comes Pelosi. Pelosi carrying the storyline that the Democrats cannot let go.
One thing I will say to the American people, do not pay any attention to Donald Trump. It is his goal to scare people from voting, to intimidate them by saying he's going to have law enforcement people at the polls, to welcome, in fact, Russian intervention into our election, letting Putin decide who will be president.
Yeah, right. Then we saw that whole thing. That was a lie and a farce and shown to be, but here they are again. Let's run it up the flagpole one more time. When we come back, you're going to hear from Nikki Haley, former U.N. ambassador for the U.S. This is something you definitely don't want to miss. Stand by, please.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off that old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Good evening. I'm Nikki Haley, and it's great to be back at the Republican National Convention. I'll start with a little story. It's about an American ambassador to the United Nations, and it's about a speech she gave to this convention. She called for the re-election of the Republican president she served, and she called out his Democratic opponent, a former vice president from a failed administration. That ambassador said, and I quote, "Democrats always blame America first." The year was 1984. The president was Ronald Reagan, and Ambassador Jean Kirkpatrick's words are just as true today. Joe Biden and the Democrats are still blaming America first. Donald Trump has always put America first, and he has earned four more years as president.
Nikki Haley, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N. I wanted to take the beginning of that speech and let you hear it in full, because when she starts talking about, I want to tell you about a former U.N. ambassador and the remarks they had to say about the president. Some folks might have thought she was going to talk about herself. But then she went right to the words of Jean Kirkpatrick and pointing out that the Democrats are always looking to blame somebody. That has not changed since 84, since Reagan. Not changed one bit. It's a lot easier to criticize and complain and whine and bitch, all that stuff on a daily basis rather than really come up with something solid. That's why you did not see during the Democrat National Committee, or convention, I should say, any real legitimate platform of what we're going to do. It's all pie in the sky. And it will happen. Joe Biden doesn't know what he's going to do because he doesn't know what the progressives are going to demand. He's not going to be in charge of the White House. You'll be lucky to spend one night in the White House. Kamala Harris is there for that very reason, the day he cannot show up and do his thing. Now, something else Trump has done, which is critical, and it kind of gotten lost in the news of everything going on with the convention activity. But she brought it home last night, and it deserves our attention.
Obama and Biden let Iran get away with murder and literally sent them a plane full of cash. President Trump did the right thing and ripped up the Iran nuclear deal. Obama and Biden led the United Nations to denounce our friend and ally, Israel. President Trump moved our embassy to Jerusalem, and when the UN tried to condemn us, I was proud to cast the American veto. This president has a record of strength and success. The former vice president has a record of weakness and failure. Joe Biden is good for Iran and ISIS, great for communist China, and he's a godsend to everyone who wants America to apologize, abstain, and abandon our values.
And that's exactly what the Obama ticket did once Obama was in the White House. The apology tour going all around the world saying, well, we're kind of sorry for what we did in the past. Let us make amends. And, of course, shoving that Iran deal down our throat and Joe Biden helping him sell it. We've had on the program numerous times before Fred Flights, who knows great detail about this Iran nuclear deal, but also the most recent Israel-UAE agreement. I've got Fred scheduled in the next segment. You'll want to hear his take on what this means for maybe peace in the Middle East.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Glad to welcome back Fred Flights, President, CEO of Center for Security Policy. Extensive credentials, national security positions, 25 years with the CIA, the DIA, Department of State, House Intel Committee. Fred, welcome aboard again, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
Well, the other day, August 20th, actually, you wrote an article on something I really wanted to deal with then, but other things were in play at that date. And it was very major when it came down to this Trump getting Israel and UAE, the United Arab Emirates, to come to an agreement. Even the Democrats were kind of thinking, I guess, how do we fight against this? Or we could say it's just not going to really work. They could start there. But what's your take to begin with?
Well, you know, it was an incredible day when left-wing writers like the Washington Post, David Ignatius, says this is a huge achievement, and even better, Thomas Friedman, who is one of the most hostile journalists I know against Trump, calls it huge. And it's huge because we've had a pretty stable and aggressive foreign policy in the Middle East by President Trump that's been pushing for peace. Has tried to change the rules a little bit and create new opportunities. And it was such a dramatic achievement that even many of the president's liberal enemies, they had to compliment him.
Yeah, in fact, your remarks about Thomas Friedman, you're right, in his op-ed, he said, for once, I'm going to agree with President Trump in his use of his favorite adjective, huge. I mean, why are they willing to accept how important this is?
Well, I mean, it's good to see that even people who disagree with us politically, some of them have ethics. I might add that Ben Rhodes did not. There are some people out there who condemned it anyway because they can't put the interests of our country ahead of their partisan interests. But you got to give Ignatius and Friedman credit that they actually, and even Washington Times editorial board, to say, well, you know, maybe we don't like the president, but we have to give him credit for this achievement.
And when you, Jared Kushner, obviously involved with it, Secretary of State Pompeo, U.S. Ambassador Israel Friedman, how do you know or what do you know about it playing out, how it all came to be over a period of time and so forth?
Jared Kushner has been subject to just relentless attacks and ridicule by the mainstream media and foreign policy experts. I've had a chance to work with him, Larry, one-on-one. I've set up some phone calls with him, with foreign leaders, and I was impressed by his backdoors wheeling and dealing. And I think while he's been taking cheap shots from the media, he's been working hard pressing Middle East leaders to come to an agreement, and this is the result of it. And he has a number of other very smart people who are behind him. But, you know, when he speaks to these Middle East leaders, he has something that's very important. He knows he has the complete support of the president, and I think that's mattered a lot.
And, of course, the response from Iran and Palestinians, as expected.
Yeah, you know, it has been. But you know, there's a big aspect of this that's worth stressing. The president threw out the diplomatic rule book, like he always does in issues like this. He basically said to the Palestinians, time's up. We're not going to let you veto a peace plan anymore. You don't want peace. You've blown numerous opportunities by many presidents and Israeli governments. We're moving on without you. We're moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. And you know what was brilliant about this, Larry? That the Trump administration correctly judged or foresaw that most Middle Eastern states, they agree with us. They're tired of the Palestinians not just dragging their feet on peace, but their use of violence, and they're making alliances with terrorist groups. Frankly, states in the region, they're tired of the Palestinians dragging them down.
And how important is this going to be as a first step for other Arab nations to agree that, yeah, we should become part of this coalition moving forward?
I think in terms of economics, in terms of security, it's very important. And I wouldn't be surprised if a number of other nations, maybe Morocco, maybe Oman, in the short term, talk about an agreement like this with Israel. The cooperation, the benefits of the cooperation, I think will be very significant. And this deal with the UAE, I think, opens the door for more agreements like that.
Yeah, and yet in that part of the world, the hatred for Israel, the anti-Semitism, is obvious and often carried out in terrorist attacks. And even in this nation, we saw the same from Democrats and others upset that what Trump has done. But to bring peace to a region where, I mean, they've had centuries and centuries of war and just no respect for each other and always looking to go at each other's throat. I mean, is this a solid step?
I hope so. And another point that Kushner and Ambassador Friedman tried to make is that your enemy is Iran. Your enemy's not Israel. Israel's not going to attack neighboring states. Iran looks very well like it will, and it's already engaged in belligerent activities to try to seize a Greek oil tanker a couple of weeks ago in the Strait of Hormuz. Iran is the threat, and I think we've made the case to states in the region we need to unite against that threat.
Last night, former U.S. Ambassador to UN Nikki Haley, speaking at the GOP convention, I'm sure you saw a part of it or caught it, she made a big deal to point out how this president has won the hearts of pro-Israel Americans and standing with Israel, where the Democrats been wishy-washy and were against moving the embassy to Jerusalem, which had already been enacted for decades.
Despite all these ridiculous claims that the president is anti-Semitic, which is sort of hard to understand since his daughter is Jewish, Israeli people, the Israeli leadership trust the president because of the move of the embassy, and Arab states trust the president too. Remember, in 2017, what was one of the president's first foreign trips to Saudi Arabia? To work with Arab states. And that really, you know, Arab states and Israel, they know where President Trump stands. They never knew where President Obama stood, but they did know that he was trying to sell them out to get this ridiculous nuclear deal with Iran, which I'm so happy the president withdrew from.
The substantial things that are on the table now with this is that we have Israel and the United Arab Emirates establishing full diplomatic relations, opening embassies, trade and air travel between the two countries. Israel agreeing to suspend plans to annex portions of the West Bank. All of those sound good. The question I'm wondering if some of them are also considering, especially the nations you mentioned, Bahrain, Morocco, waiting to see, well, is Trump really going to be in office or will everything be turned upside down by November?
I think that's a real worry that if Biden wins, he will rejoin the nuclear deal and this agreement will fall apart and our relations with Israel will plummet again and tensions with Iran. I mean, there's strong tensions with Iran right now, but the problem with Iran is if you throw concessions at it that it doesn't deserve, you embolden the Iranians. Because remember, after Obama signed the nuclear deal in 2015, I'd say he agreed to it, it wasn't signed, in 2015, Iranian belligerent behavior got worse. It did not improve with that agreement.
And they made it clear that we'll do what we want to when we want to.
That's exactly right. And I think the Iranians and many other U.S. enemies and adversaries, they're holding out for a Biden presidency. They're looking forward to the return of the appeasement and leading from behind of the Obama era that I think will even be worse because Biden will be much further to the left than Obama was. And I think his foreign policy team is going to be abysmal.
And what I've seen inside the Democrat Party moving more and more to the left, and you're inviting to the Democrat convention, Sarsour, one of the leading members of the Boycott Israel and anti-Semitic and everyone linked to her and so forth, and then dissing her and saying, well, we want to cut ties, Biden's not supporting her, and yet turning right around and issuing an apology on a closed conference call they didn't know was going to be taped. They're trying to play both sides. I would think that kind of gameplay is obvious to the Iran, and I think they also know how to play the game better.
The AOC far left, America-hating, Israel-hating radicals are in the ascendancy of the Democrat Party. And it looks like they're trying to play it both ways, but make no mistake, these far leftist, socialist, anti-Americans, anti-Israel leftists, they're gaining control of the Democratic Party. Count on it.
I liked your opening statement when you said that this president is putting country first and that this is vital for our security, world security.
It is. And, I mean, frankly, he's doing something that many presidents and presidential candidates had promised to do, to try to make a deal to promote our security, Israel's security, moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. And instead of playing these games with the foreign policy establishment, who like everything to be blessed by the U.N. and to give Russia and China a veto over whatever we do. The president answers to the U.S. Constitution first, not the U.N. Charter.
Outstanding. Fred, as always, glad to have you on board. Would like to do it again. Obviously, there's a lot more on this story yet to come.
Anytime. Thanks, Larry.
You bet. Fred Flights, president, CEO of the Center for Security Policy. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll update the situation in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where the black man was shot repeatedly.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We had another night of unrest, rioting, to be specific, rioting and arson in Kenosha, Wisconsin last night. Of course, that's following what happened after police officers shot a black man in the back as he's trying to enter his car, ignoring numerous instructions, walking around away from them, and opens the door and starts to lean forward and apparently reaching for something under the seat, or could have been his wallet. I still haven't seen details. I don't know if a lot of details what you're getting right now might be more rumor, so I'd rather wait and see full details. If that was intent, that was not a good idea. The officers themselves, I'm not sure they handled it as well as they could have. But again, I'm not there, and that's a split-second decision. I don't blanketly endorse police, but I do acknowledge the challenges they face, and now more so than ever. We put that video up at Larry Connors USA Facebook, and let me read you some of the comments that came in. First from Denny says, uh-oh, Kenosha PD goofed. You could say that. Jason saying, shooting him in the back is irrelevant if he's reaching for a weapon. Again, I don't know if that's fact, but others applauded and accepted that remark. David said, complete ignorance. If he wasn't resisting, he'd be alive today. Ignorance is on display there, in all caps. I would also say, if you're going to talk about ignorance, it was not, I'm not going to say ignorant, but it was certainly not smart of the man continuing to ignore officer and do what he did. Diane adding a different view. Clearly they could have taken him down before he entered the car. Nothing will happen to them. Doesn't matter the situation. Could have been valid or not valid. The outcome will be the same. Wear a badge. You're allowed to murder. That I disagree with. You're not allowed to, and we're going to see, I assume, charges coming at some point. For now, those officers are suspended. His family is reporting that he is paralyzed from the waist down, which was the other point. As many times as he was shot, 7-plus times, it was not a fatal wound, but he is apparently paralyzed from the waist down, according to the family. The video is still available at Larry Connors USA Facebook. You can go and add your remarks. I want to add some additional details we have now that we didn't have yesterday. There is, according to the Associated Press, that new footage from a different angle showing that he was struggling with two of the officers on the right side of his SUV Sunday before he went around the other side. Now, that's video I haven't seen yet, but I'm sharing the idea, the storyline with you. The AP is reporting that the 29-year-old was wanted on charges of sexual assault and other charges. Third-degree sexual assault, trespassing, disorderly conduct, connection with domestic abuse. Again, that's not a reason to carry out an execution or kill a man on the street, or even shoot him repeatedly in the back. That case, I'm looking at some of the details that they're putting out that it obviously gave police additional concern when they did stop him. Apparently, he had been charged, and there were allegations, or rather, there's a warrant out for him at that time where he'd pointed a gun at another man in a bar and then pointed the gun through the window at patrons inside the bar before walking out, and then later left in his car. Officers got advice that the car was traveling north with a male subject driving. That's when they initiated the traffic stop. And believing he was armed, police conducted a high-risk traffic stop, according to the police complaint, ordered him to put his hands out the window, and said he got out of the vehicle, started walking toward the officers, ignored commands to get on the ground. They forced him to the ground, ordered him to put his hands behind his back, and when he refused, a canine was brought in. Now, I'm trying to see if that was that incident or a previous incident. I think it's hard to read by this detail coming in. I'm not making an excuse for the cops. I'm just trying to give you the details of what we have. And, of course, that followed with two nights of rioting, burning car dealerships, which had nothing to do with anything. It's just great video to shoot, start a fire and watch it all burn. former Vice President Joe Biden's remarks. He called it systemic racism, an example of systemic racism. NBA star LeBron James saying, now you see why we say what we do about cops. Biden apparently, though, and yeah, apparently a taser was used on him before they had to shoot him and before they did. But Biden did not say anything about the violence. Not even suggesting rioting and looting and arson is not to be condoned even on this basis. Which tells you again, the Democrats just are afraid to take a stand. Full investigation will determine if the cops were wrong. And I want justice. If they're wrong, it'll be handled. But you can't deny if you are facing officers and they're telling you to stop, especially if they got their pistols out, I would get on the ground. That would be smart, if nothing else. Blacks on display at the GOP convention last night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.